Fixed on Your Hand of Gold, written by Black Cat and read by K-Burb. This is a Clone Wars fic, rated mature, in which no archive warnings apply. It features the relationship between Fox/Quinlan, as well as the character of Palpatine. Relevant tags include Sith Fox, character death, it's Palpatine, complicated relationships, romance, possessive behavior, and fix it of sorts.
I could lose, I was never the same. Watching still living roots be consumed by the flame. I was fixed on your hand of gold, laying waste to my love and long ago.
The message comes in with the sunrise. A quiet chime that echoes through the room just as Fox is sliding back into bed with his first cup of caff. Frowning a little, Fox settles back against the headboard, reaches for his comm. It slides towards his fingers until he can reach it, but that's fine. He's tired of hiding, getting bold with the years he's managed to keep his secrets from everyone. And besides, the only other person in the room is asleep. Taking a sip of his caff, Fox tugs the blanket up, feels a stir. There's a low breath, a shift, and Quinlan curls into him, one arm sliding around his waist, his face tucked into Fox's hip as he hums lightly. Fox smiles a little, sets the calf down to stroke his hair back from his face, and then tangles his fingers in the thick locks, cups the back of Quinlan's head. Quinlan is wearing the beads Fox got him, wound through his dreads, bright and shining red even in the low light, glittering flecks of black. He's beautiful. And Fox just watches him for a moment, dragging his thumb across the streak of gold that curls back towards Quinlan's hairline. Possessiveness curls like heat in his chest, because Quinlan's beautiful and his, and he's wearing Fox's beads, has Fox's marks on his throat and the backs of his shoulders and stitched into his clothes. It's nothing that Fox ever would have thought to want, but it's everything he's ever needed. Quinlan manages, just as the comm chimes again. He curls further into Fox, breathing out heavily, and asks, "Time?"
"Early,"
Fox says, and slides his hand down, over the back of Quinlan's neck, over his shoulder, down his back. Tugs, and Quinlan agreeably slides up, collapsing with his head and shoulders in Fox's lap, his head pillowed on Fox's thigh. The spill of his hair with its bright beads is a silken weight, and when he half turns his head and smirks up at Fox, lazy in the first light, Fox can feel the trembling, drum-heavy beat of want echoing through his chest. "His," he thinks, and buries his fingers in Quinlan's hair. "His, his, his." "Means we have some time," Quinlan says, and his fingers slide up the outside of Fox's thigh, just light enough to be a tease. Fox catches his hand, pulls it up, lays a kiss against Quinlan's palm, thinking only about last night. Quinlan on his belly and the noises he made when Fox was making marks all the way up his throat. It's tricky, sometimes, being in love with a Jedi with such strong psychometry, but Fox wants it enough to do whatever he has to in order to make it through. He can feel the flash of heat that shivers through Quinlan, smiles at the way Quinlan's breath catches. When he leans down, Quinlan tips his head up, cranes to meet the kiss like it's all he wants in the world, and Fox doesn't let him think of the whole galaxy spread out before his feet, all his brothers alive and safe and powerful. Quinlan just like this, in black and crimson, and full of languid, easy want. At his side, always, and Quinlan walks in shadows, sees the darkness. If any Jedi will understand, it's him. Then a yawn cracks through, Quinlan pulling back with a groan and flopping back down on Fox's lap, and Fox snorts. He strokes Quinlan's hair as Quinlan covers another yawn, smiling a little as Quinlan tilts his head into the touch and says, "Time for you to sleep. I want you fully conscious later." Quinlan gives him a sly smirk. "I don't know. Trying it while I'm half asleep might be fun too." Heat flickers through Fox. The concept of Quinlan trusting him enough to try something like that, just as appealing as the idea itself. He digs his fingers in, grips twists of dark hair just tight enough for Quinlan to shiver, and says,
"We'll talk about it later. You got back late. Sleep a little more."
Quinlan makes a hazy sound of agreement, though he doesn't move from Fox's lap, closes his eyes, sighs like he's perfectly content, and then wrinkles his nose as the comm chimes again. "Mine?" "Mine," Fox corrects and checks his comm. The code makes him frown, and he opens it, checks it. The sight of the order there makes him go perfectly, deathly still. "Fox?" Quinlan asks, opening one eye to look up at him with concern. He gets an elbow underneath himself, pushes up and rolls off, sprawling on his back beside Fox instead as he stares up at his face. "Everything good?" Fox snaps the comm off with a huff, and despite his best intentions, he slides over, settles on top of Quinlan and leans in, kisses him, slow and deep and messy, and then says,
"Seems like you need some help getting back to sleep."
Something flickers in Quinlan's eyes, but he doesn't push. He never pushes. Not about things that Fox can't say. It's one of the things Fox loves about him. Attention and care and understanding. And deep beneath it all, a steady hum of hurt and anger and uncertainty, carefully controlled but never banished. Fox breathes it in, kisses him deep and hard, and tangles their bodies together. And Quinlan's arms loop loose and lazy around his neck, holding him close.
"Offering to tire me out, Commander?" Quinlan asks,
cocky in the bare inches between them. That smile does things to Fox's heart that all the power in the galaxy can't replicate.
"Going to make me run laps. Make me debate the merits of Ataru over Shi Cho."
"You're a criffing nerd," Fox says, and it's amused despite his best efforts.
"And I can think of something better for your mouth to be doing."
Quinlan laughs, but he agreeably rolls them over and slides down, and Fox wraps his hands in all that pretty, pretty hair with his red and black beads, hooks a leg over Quinlan's broad back to pin him in place, and fixes his eyes on Quinlan's face. He doesn't look away.
"You received my orders," Palpatine asks, smug, smiling over his steepled fingers.
"Yes, Master," Fox says, and here there's no parade rest, no armor, no blaster. The Chancellor's office is a different creature in the darkness, the Sith murals on the walls alive, the Sith artifacts along the walls deep and dark with an old kind of power. Palpatine has stopped hiding, and Fox has too.
"Well, soon. Soon, all the masks will be gone."
"The proof?" Palpatine asks, smiling, and Fox rises from his knees, steps forward. He drops the locks of long, bloody black hair on the desk between them, and Palpatine laughs. He leans back in his chair, smirk wide, and clasps his hands together.
"Good," he says delightedly. "Good, my apprentice. One more threat has fallen, and we are one step closer to our revenge."
"We are," Fox says, and Quinlan's blood is still on his fingers, but it's worth it. This is for power, for all of them. All the clones, carefully learning every lesson Fox passes on, understanding, growing. Millions of Sith, loyal to Fox because he's loyal to them. And Palpatine might think he has them all chipped and controlled and owned, but he'll never really understand loyalty. Won't ever understand love and everything that drives Fox. Chuckling, Palpatine picks up the twists of hair, like he's admiring them, and the blood smears across his fingers. Lightning, vicious and crim and leaping from the beads, fueled by blood and magic and Fox's fury at being ordered to kill what's his. Palpatine screams, shrieks, body twisting, and Fox pulls his lightsaber from inside his boot, ignites it in a wash of red. Palpatine tries to stagger up, to react, to fight, but it doesn't matter. He won't take away what's Fox's by right. Fox won't let him. There are footsteps across the room, quiet, a little unsteady. Fox looks up from the piles of paperwork he's sorting through, frowning, and says,
"You shouldn't be up yet."
Quinlan's a little pale, but standing. His eyes flicker from Palpatine's body, to the lightsaber on the desk, to the boots Fox has propped on the wood beside it, and he takes a deep breath.
"You used me in a Sith ritual," he says evenly.
Fox raises a sardonic brow.
"I assumed you wouldn't mind helping to kill the Sith Lord," he says,
considers, and smiles, full of teeth.
"The old Sith Lord."
Quinlan's breathing is rough, halfway to disbelieving. He crosses the remaining space, and when Fox reaches for him, grips his fingers and pulls him in, he doesn't fight it. Fox pulls him onto his lap, fingers digging more marks into his hips, and raises a brow in challenge, and Quinlan stares at him, swallows.
"What are you planning to do?"
he asks, and that's even too.
"Nothing to the Jedi,"
Fox promises, watching him in return.
"You can't do anything against a few million Sith anyway, but if you keep to the temple while we get things settled, you'll be fine. You should never have been forced to serve the Senate, just like the clones. I'm fixing it."
"Are you?" Quinlan asks, tipping his head, and the mark Fox cut into his back, between his shoulder blades, is already starting to scar beneath the Bacta, rough against Fox's fingertips. Another mark, this one just more permanent. Fox regrets it, but not enough to stop. Not enough to not have done it. It was the fastest way to kill Palpatine, and Fox has always been a practical Vod. Selfless service to the greater good. Is that what this is?
"No,"
Fox says, meeting his dark, dark eyes, stroking his fingers across gold markings.
"Criff, no. I just want what's mine to be safe."
He breathes, leans in, rests their foreheads together with a quiet sigh.
"He ordered me to kill you."
"You said that when you tied me to the bed, and not even in the fun way." Quinlan curls a hand around the back of his neck, then says,
"You wouldn't have told me unless it was too late for me to stop things."
"You are clever," Fox says with a smirk, and Quinlan rolls his eyes and pinches him hard. It makes Fox snort, and he catches Quinlan's hand, pulls it up, kisses his knuckles, his fingertips, his palm, and says, a little rough,
"I'm sorry for hurting you. It was the only thing I could think of when he wanted you dead before sunset."
"You know, when most people say that, it's because they hurt my feelings in the middle of an argument," Quinlan observes, "not because they cut my hair and used my blood for magic."
"To kill a Sith Lord," Fox points out, a little annoyed that that part of it keeps getting overlooked.
Quinlan huffs out a laugh, and his smile is crooked, but it's still beautiful. "To kill one Sith Lord," he allows, "and replace him with a couple million more."
"I'm keeping my people safe,"
Fox says, and it's bare, raw, true. He holds Quinlan's gaze, means every word of it.
"No one else is going to look out for us. The Jedi can't, and we're not going to die for the Republic when it doesn't even believe we're people."
Quinlan's breath is rough, but he tips his head, kisses Fox lightly, lingering.
"You're lucky I love you," he says,
and Fox wraps his arms around him, pulls him down, kisses him again, and doesn't let go. The end.